webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 31st of March 2016, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where with Mahatma Gandhi, we say, to believe in something and not to live it is dishonest. And here, from Houston, Texas, is that great unteacher, the heretic's hope, the preacher's paradox, and the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Mr. Michael, how are you?
Good evening, Bearis Bartlett. I am doing better.
You are not well. Go on, tell the truth.
Just a cough. Nothing more, nothing less. Just a nagging cough that keeps me awake. And I've been getting about 3 hours of sleep. It's weird how coughs go, you know. You can feel better in the morning and the cough subsides a bit. And then as the evening hours, you know how the devil starts working at nighttime? And then...
Oh, you too bad.
And then he'd let go of my throat by about 4 or 5 in the morning. And then I'd get 2 or 3 hours sleep, so...
Well, my mum used to say, it's not the cough that carries you off, it's a coffin they carry you often.
How are you today?
Oh, Mike, I'm just as happy as a dog in a room full of rubber balls. The move that is coming up, some people don't know, we are looking at moving into Alabama, and that is looking surer and better and stronger and easier as the days go by. The people down there are GRs, and you actually have heard these folks on the podcast, Jimmy and Carrie McCollum, and from Cullman, Alabama. And I can't wait to get down there to meet our friends. I mean, Pat Martin Lockshaw Pat and Ted Winsett, pastors Pat and Ted Winsett, and Barry Laney, and that whole gang down there that you actually developed. I'm going to get to ride off your back free, mate. Your friends are going to become my friends,
and you're going to get to go to church.
Okay.
Pat and Ted are close to you down there.
No, they're not close enough for church. No, I just decided. Yeah, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I don't know.
I knew it wasn't in the backyard or anything, but I thought maybe it'd be close enough for you.
I might have to. I mean, Miss Pat does my tax, and Pastor Ted has kind of wound himself around my affections. I don't know.
They're sneaky that way, you know what?
Oh, they're sneaky as all get out, mate. if only I had someone down there. I mean, if his fellowship had someone who could teach me how to go fishing and where to catch the best fish, I might almost go.
Well, you just might almost have to, because I'll almost guarantee that they almost for surely will be able to almost do that.
That was almost convincing.
Almost.
Hey, what's happening in the Gospel Revolution, buddy?
Well, I'm waiting at the moment to hear some news back from Kenya. They are so busy that my communication with them is actually a little bit less than normal.
Now that they're so successful, they need you less than they used to. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, exactly. They're just tossing me to the side. But no, listen, I am so glad that things are going well for our little family there and for the Gospel Revolution. But we are actually waiting right now for some updates on the schools, and I did say schools, plural, and our radio shows from the Catholic, being broadcast from the Catholic radio station and the Muslim radio station. This has been growing continually ever since the inception of this, so we're just really happy about what's going on. We've offered financial support, we've offered moral, emotional support, and they've offered the same back to us. we're very grateful for what's happening with these guys and of course other places in the world, but we'll catch you up on more good news next time we talk.
Well, Michael, dare I tell you what I've been doing this week?
I was going to ask, but yes.
Oh, you never, your pants are smoking. You never intend to ask. It's all about you. We know that, mate. Hey, I've been listening to podcasts.
Really? Whose?
Yours.
Oh, wonderful. Mine?
Ours.
And your impressions?
Oh, I'm very impressed with myself. Yes, exactly, I am. I am. I'm not as impressed with you. You carry on a bit, but you know, I mean, I get you through.
Exactly.
Since this new website's gone up, I can now just go in there and type in a word in the search bar and listen. And I said to myself, I'm just going to listen to all the podcasts from day one on.
Wow.
That's when you and I started. And so I've done it. And I actually, I'm pretty damn impressed with how fast we seem to slot into things. And maybe we did a better job back then than we are now. Who knows? I guess what I'm saying is this. Those old, you know, the sites that we had, Notice the Past Tense, Podbean, and I think also where we kept our products, they are going to recede into the faint background of memory now, and everything is being handled from the website, and I love it. It was such a pain in the butt going into Podbean and saying, oh, what am I looking for? When did we do that? Let me just travel through 150 podcasts and don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I was most impressed with, you know, we've been advertising our 24-hour radio station. I have never heard it. I've never heard it because you got to type in dup 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 dot blah 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 blah, and so I've tried a couple of times. Somehow I mess up the address or whatever, and right there on the taskbar at the top is our 24-hour. Click on, and all you do is click on it, and bam, you're listening to live radio. Well, recorded shows, but it is live. It's been broadcast at that moment from the Netherlands. And it was part of your interview with Alexa Meyer. I was just amazed. I thought, my goodness, I just clicked on here, and we have a 24-hour radio station. So.
Knock yourself out, people. I mean, if you're a shift worker, put those headphones on and just tune in if you want. Just do it straight over your telephone. And your cell phone, that is. And I'm really taken. I think that Jeff Robertson deserves, I don't know, he deserves something. I mean, I'd fight for a holiday for him, except I don't believe he'd take it. So, Jeff Robertson, you did a handsome job. And I know that you had help with professional website builders. But I build websites for other people, by the way. And if you ask why didn't I build this website, it's because it needed the quality of a professional website. Now, I don't build professional websites. I build utility websites. But Jeff Robertson, all kudos to you, mate.
Yes, for sure.
Did well. Now, talking about that, we got an email from Victor Brennan. It was one of his long-winded epistles. In which he said, beautiful website, great job.
Yes, I saw that. I responded to that one and thanked him for his congratulations about the website. Vic's always there and always doing something. So we always enjoy hearing from Vic DeBrennan, our chief everything in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Goodness gracious, we appreciate you, Vic, so much. Vic and Debbie are just troopers. Goodness gracious. They never let us down. We always are able to carry off a January conference and a July conference, which they already have the dates booked and everything for July.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, it's all done. We're moving quickly toward another Calgary, Alberta conference in July. I am going to be teaching on the last trump.
Now, back in the day, we'd march around the bloody room and the banners were up. And
I know.
Some fool down the back had a tambourine and some other idiot brought along a shofar and they'd blow these shofars. Are you going to have a trumpet there?
No need for one.
How about a shofar?
No need for one.
They are very scriptural shofars.
They are very scriptural as sacrifices were. We will not be doing a sacrifice and we will not be blowing the shofar or the trumpet because it's all fulfilled. Paul said, you have not come to the mountain that might be touched and burns with fire, and you have not come to the sound of a trumpet.
Hang on. Is this a teaser for later in the show, is it? You're trying to get started now.
Oh, no, but all roads lead to the gospel of peace.
So. All roads lead to Jesus. I like that. Hey, while you're up on our website, family, make sure and go to the videos. If you have not seen some of JR's videos, you really you need to. But, I mean, these are little five-minute vignettes of the gospel, and they're just fantastic. You can listen to anyone, and you're going to be encouraged. Just as simple as that. Now, we had an email this week, Michael, from, and I don't get this. I think he's having a lend of us. It says it's from D. David Hensel, and he signs it Derek Hensel. Now, too many of us are going to confuse the rest of the world. My name's Donald Allen Beresford Bartlett, and you know me as Beres, but I'm starting to rename myself. I'm rebranding. Did you know, Michael? I'm rebranding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, reinventing myself. I mean, if politicians can do it, I can. But
being the politician that you are.
Being the consummate politician that I am. Anyway, David or Derek, whoever you are, and by the way, we had a long phone call the other night, Derek Hensel and myself, and it was just, and he said, I'm just starstruck. I've just stumbled onto this and that I can ring up Jeff and ring up you and you actually answer. I didn't know who was going to answer but your number is there in your bio. So I thought, what the heck? And I said, well, you can do the same with Mike, you know?
Yes. And I just called home and I do have a message from him on my home phone machine. So I was really thrilled. When I get back home, I'll be able to return the call after we get back off of our mission trip here in Minnesota. He expressed the fact in his message on the phone that he was excited that he was able to call also.
Yeah.
So, and that's true, folks. We're here. Now, as in this situation, I may not be able to answer the phone immediately, but I will get back with you. If you got questions or things that you need to talk to anyone about, I mean, goodness gracious, you've got three of us. Take your choice.
And I get that because it took me ever so long to call you. I remember the first time I rang you, there you were at the end of the phone. And he says, and I was kind of starstruck, and I don't know why. It was just that somebody who had so valuably impacted my life could be contacted that easily. Family, if you want to talk to us, talk to us, and don't be starstruck, because I understand we are stars after all. I mean, we're right up there. Our little stars are in Hollywood on the pavement there. No, we are just, all we are people who realized that we'd been playing with the truth for too long. And we're not smarter than anyone else out there. We just got there before you. Well, some of you, I mean, like I meet about 80% of the GRs and I say, they made it there before me. Oh, bugger.
That's quite all right. Goodness.
And this week, David Derek Hensel, he writes this. Hey, Beres, it occurred to me as a follow-up of our conversation last night that Satan wanted to be like God, right? If so, wouldn't it seem appropriate that Lucifer and his angels would have attempted to counterfeit and thwart God's plan of making a God-man hybrid, a new creation, that is, by the angels sleeping with the daughters of men? Now, we got into this conversation. It was quite interesting. Last week, he had a question regarding Genesis 6:6. If you go down the page a little bit, I think to 6:8 onwards, you're talking about Noah.
And there's a very curious comment in that account, and that is that Noah was perfect in all his generations. Now, when you read that in English, it doesn't make any sense. But if you look at the Hebrew, the word generations could be DNA or genes. So, in fact, it almost certainly is. So Noah was the only person on the face of the earth who was perfect in all his genes. His genes were untouched from creation till then, indicating the real possibility that everybody else's genes were pretty much screwed with. And there is a, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there is a belief out there that when the Bible says that the sons of God came in and lay with the daughters of men, that it was an indication that fallen angels were procreating with humans, and the offspring were such as pertained all the way through until even after Noah and the flood to the giants like Goliath. So it is one of those things we're never going to know. It's one of those things you will find people absolutely know it all. But I think it's important just to point out that there is much more in the scriptures than we will ever know until we get into a place where we can talk to God and say, listen, mate, what about that? And what about this? And what about the other thing? Derek continues and he says, you can almost see the reflection of the gospel in that. This was God's plan, and the fallen angels were basically trying to be like God. Yeah, it does say that Lucifer, when he rose up, he said, I will be like as unto God. He'll be like God. And that this was God's plan, and the fallen angels were basically trying to be like God by carrying out God's plan for themselves. Does that make sense? Peace, Derek from New Hampshire. Yes, Derek, it makes sense. But, you know, there are three areas of knowledge. What we know that we know, what we know that we don't know, and what we don't know that we don't know. And in that area of knowledge of what we don't know that we don't know, that is the biggest of all knowledge. If you took all the knowledge in the universe and separate them out into those three areas, the smallest is what we know that we know, the next smallest is what we know that we don't know, and the biggest is we don't even know what we don't know. So one day we're going to find out. It's going to be too late to put on a podcast in this life, but it could be kind of fun finding out.
Well, that's what the gospel revolution is all about. It has become fun finding out. We could call it the FFO club, you know.
Fun, fun, fun till the daddy took a Bible away.
It is fun finding out. Please stay open, folks, and continue to bring these questions and these emails. I know Barris has had some insights into this. I'd never considered the term generations there, meaning what it does mean in the Hebrew. So it shows that there is something to this story, and a lot more, I know, for me to be thought out. But the scriptures are filled with the truth about Christ. We also believe that Jesus told us the truth, that the scriptures are all about him.
And if we take Noah as a picture of Jesus, who was perfect in all of his genes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really is. So we are growing. We are understanding more and more. We've not come up with a tidy little doctrine that does not beg to be questioned. I think everything that I teach comes with it a true desire, seems like a desire on its own part to be questioned and to be thought through, because there is so much there. As Barris told you, what we know we don't know, goodness gracious, those things that we don't even know what we don't know. Is so huge, it's like the universe. So this is one thing I do know about knowing what I don't know, is that I will be learning until I take my last breath on this planet. For me, that is very exciting. I see people in other professions and other fields of work that they come to the end and they are disappointed in life. They have run out the other end of whatever it is they went into. But with the gospel, and that includes all religion, Christianity and everything else, they all come to an end of their understanding, and then it's just a circle. They keep circling the same place again. But with the gospel, we have the entire scriptures open to us because we validate that the scriptures are where we validate. What Jesus validated was that that's where we go to settle the issues about truth pertaining to the gospel. So we've got a lifetime ahead of us, folks. We've learned a lot, but I think it's nothing but a drop in the bucket compared to what's there for us to pick up and move on with. This is all very interesting. You know, one of the interesting points I'll say about this email, Bears, is that the big fault with the angels was that their goal was to be like God.
Mm.
I would dare you to walk in any church that is not their goal.
Dang, I never thought of that.
That is the goal.
What would Jesus do?
Yes, WWJD. It's like, I mean, yeah, that's one Lucifer would ask, right?
Dang.
So, the whole issue, the difference is we're not teaching you something about how to be like God. We're showing you that you and God are one. No likeness. We're not teaching you about a likeness or a similarity or a pattern to follow, a creed, a law, a rule, a regulation, a moral, a high place. The gospel is a revelation of this incredible thing that took place 2,000 years ago when God chose to be one with mankind. So I'm excited, Ferris. That leaves us with so much to learn and understand, but we are not trying to get you to be like God. That was Lucifer's idea, and all religion is based on Lucifer's idea.
You know, when we say you and God are one, too many people very quickly say, oh, you're saying you're God. No, we're not saying you're God any more than we're saying your wife is the same as you or your husband is the same as you. But the Bible does say the two will become one. Now, in that respect, you are God. In that respect, my wife is Mrs. Don exactly. Bartlett. That's the way legally she is called, Mrs. Don Bartlett. Now, that doesn't mean she's not unique. That doesn't mean she's not special. That doesn't mean that she's in any way inferior to me. It just means she's separate to me. Now, in this oneness, in unity, as compared with dualism, you are God in this respect, that before the cross there was God and there were people and they were quite separate entities. In the new creation, God has evolved to incorporate you and me.
Yes.
And in this oneness, we are and retain our own self. See,
that's freedom, parents.
Isn't that freedom?
That's freedom, that you get it all and you still stay free. Woo-hoo. You still stay free.
Now, this week we had a message. I got a message from Jeff Robertson. And he said, here's a message from Jody Leese. Remember, he's a guy. His dad is Wayne. So here comes the letter. I just got off the phone with Jody, and he told me he was going to... No, this is still Jeff. I just got off the phone with Wayne, and he told me he was going to send an email. He mentioned he got a kick out of the emails going backwards and forward about you calling his son a girl. See, you should get a kick out of it. And the reason you should get a kick out of it, Wayne, is because you're the one who named him. All I did was interpret it. So here's Wayne's letter. It's fun. Hello, ladies. My son,
yes, dear.
Hello, precious. My son Jody stated that he has been a troublemaker since he started listening to y'all. He never was before. No, really. Yeah,
that's an exclamation point after.
It
he
is.
Never was before.
It is, but Wayne, I beg to differ. Anyone that would call his son a girl's name. Would have to probably misinterpret the rest of his life.
Jody is not a girl's name. It must be in Australia, though.
It's not a girl's name.
No. No more than a lot of other shared names that we have. Pat.
Hang on. If it's a shared name, how can it not be a girl's name?
Well, Pat is a girl's name and a boy's name.
It's what I do to a girl. So yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're just protecting this man. I know what you're doing.
I'm protecting you.
You're hanging me out to dry is what you're doing.
Making statements that just are not true. I have to just help you.
Your pants are smoking. Doing the Heaven PC... Oh, podcast, it was mentioned that Elijah went up to heaven in a chariot of fire. You both must have gone to Sunday school and seen the pictures of that event. Yeah, I did.
We're going to get corrected here.
We are. I actually saw it on a felt board, but Michael, who's much older than me, he saw it on a magic lantern. And for those of you who don't know what that is, just Google it. Elijah was taken from sight by a whirlwind, 2 Kings 2.
Wow. Oh, yeah. 2 Kings 2?
Yeah.
Hey, Donald Trump, yeah.
How dare you talk? I mean, I'm getting it, Wayne. I mean, you don't even think we understand the story. You've got to give us a scriptural reference. Okay. Because these scriptures are about Christ, this is important. First, it seems that Ezekiel 1 speaks of Jesus Christ as the whirlwind.
Oh. Well,
that's interesting. Also, in the Gospels, we see Elijah and Moses, who also had a strange disappearance, appear with Jesus Christ in Matthew 17.
That's true.
It seems possible that for Elijah and Moses to appear, they needed to have an unusual end or sleep until they were needed again. Jesus Christ maybe just took them into himself. Wayne, really, Wayne, you want to go out and hit us with a blunt force object and just say, see ya.
It should at least said, I love you or something, right? Especially since he started with ladies.
Well. I don't even know what to do with this. Should we just scrub this from the show? I mean,
no, this is very interesting. You know, we got to find out that we're quoting something incorrectly, so we will have to go back and see what these scriptures actually say.
Hang on, what did we quote incorrectly?
Well, he says that Elijah was taken from sight by a whirlwind. He's saying that we have this picture of him going up in a chariot of fire. So now he's corrected us about this. He says it wasn't. He's saying it's not a chariot of fire.
Hey, what do you think this is? Look, you can just sit out there and correct us?
So 2 Kings chapter 2, what happened to Elijah, Barris?
Well, what happened to Enoch?
Well, no, don't go skipping around. What happened to Elijah, Barris?
He went up in a chariot of fire. I did go to Sunday school.
Where does it say that? What happened?
In the Sunday school lecture.
Oh, in the Sunday school lecture.
In the book. You know, the book.
So does...
The book that the Baptist Union write.
It's what does the scriptures say happened to Elijah?
Oh, you're going to force me to go there, aren't you?
Does it say a whirlwind? I'm sure that Wayne isn't just making this up, but does one place say a whirlwind and another place say a chariot of fire?
I'm right. He's wrong. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, talking about Elisha and Elijah. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Oh, okay. So, interesting.
It is. So he didn't go up in a chariot of fire. The chariot of fire divided between the two of them, and then the one went up in a whirlwind. That's very interesting. See, sometimes we do need to just slow down and read. That's fantastic. I don't know that it changes anything.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, what do we do with this?
Well, he had said that the whirlwind is a typology of Christ. So that's why he is saying that this makes a difference. Number one, thank you, Wayne, for keeping me from ever saying that Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. What a wonderful thing when people challenge me about this issue and they stand up and say that Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. I can say, see, you got your story wrong. So therefore, everything you believe is wrong, right? So I'll have one up on everybody. He went up in a whirlwind, not in a chariot of fire. I want to find out, was there anybody other than Wayne who's listening to us that knew that Elijah did not go up in a chariot of fire?
I don't know if our other listener is listening this week.
Oh, okay. Listener number two.
So Ezekiel chapter 1, he doesn't make it easy for us. He just says chapter 1. Now I've got to read the whole chapter. Oh, good thing it's in verse 4. And I looked, Ezekiel says, and behold, a whirlwind that came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures.
Oh.
And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings.
So this is Ezekiel's vision, and he is comparing this prophecy about Christ being the whirlwind. I see where he's going. He's saying that this world, if this whirlwind was about Christ, then this other whirlwind spoken of in 2 Kings
must not be ruled out as being about Christ.
Exactly, and that's very good logic. I mean, that's one of the things we let the scriptures do is speak for themselves. If a word becomes defined as something, we try to let that word be itself. We even go and check the Hebrew and Greek to make sure that it's the same word, to make sure that the continuity of thought is continuing.
And we go so far as to pretend we actually understand the Hebrew and Greek in order to do it.
So, things like this are those little threads that somewhere along the way, I mean, I get the point. I see why Wayne has written us, and I'm grateful for it. So, folks, go to Ezekiel chapter 1, and then also go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 and compare those whirlwinds and compare Ezekiel's vision to 2 Kings' account of a whirlwind also. So we may learn something here, especially if we get all of our gospel revolutionaries looking it up and doing word studies and seeing what they think themselves.
As long as they send an apple into the teacher.
Exactly. Get ready for your apple.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
I'd like to encourage everybody to go to the products page on gospelrevolution.com, and this week, why don't you find a product you'd like and buy it? And the only products we have is teaching. That's all we have. So, you know, we don't have any mug with cow tipping tips on it to upset religionists. We just got teaching.
Yeah, now get them, amen. Yeah.
I listened to the very first podcast this week that you and I did. That I did, actually. I think it was before you knew that you wanted to have anything to do with me. And I just played, you know, did replays of stuff that had gone on before I came along. And I was fascinated to hear somebody pushing a product that I think he'd met this chap up in Calgary. Anyway, family, go to our products page and go get yourself something. Go buy a product on the product page. Go buy some teachings. Oh, go for Galatians or Romans or Hebrews to start with, and then run up to a minister and give it to him.
Mm-hmm. And then run.
And then run.
Run up to him and then run away.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I would not.
I got a second email from David Hensel, or Derek.
Yeah.
However the mood takes you. He says, "Hey, Beres, it's Derek from NH. Great talking to you last night. I was looking through the MP3 teachings on the website, and I wasn't sure which one was the one regarding the resurrection and scripture. And there was one other one that you had recommended. Do you remember? No. Anyway, if you could point me in the right direction, that'd be great. No, I don't remember the other one. I do. I said it was free. It was in the podcast. You go to www.gospelrevolution.com, click on the podcast link, and in the search bar, put in pillars, the seven pillars of wisdom. Frankly, I think it's one of the best things that that Michael has done. I think Michael's done several great things and many, many good things. But among the great things, I think this pillars of wisdom is so complete and comprehensive. There's three that I would recommend people go back and listen to. One is International House of Persecution. One is The Five Things That Changed at the Cross. It's a series. And the last one, and probably the first one anyone should listen to, is The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. You know, I've heard The Seven Pillars of Wisdom taught by three or four different people, Michael, and I've never heard it taught better than this. And the reason is because everybody else tries to interpret that quote out of Proverbs about wisdom builds herself a house on seven pillars. And they all try to do it through their own theology. And what you did was you actually interpreted it through the scriptures. That's no mean feat when you think about it, family, because anyone can, I mean, every Bible translation, for example, has been translated through somebody's theology.
Right.
I dare you to show me one that wasn't. But this teaching was all scripture, and it was great.
Yeah, we took each pillar and showed how that each one of them are Christ himself. So they are, even as Jesus said, the scriptures are all about him. So the seven pillars are, of course, all about him.
Now, as for the other two, I think that these were my first two teachings in Canada. And I so wanted to get them perfect and right that I kept revising them and re-editing them. And Michael had a word to say to me about myself, actually, not about them. And he was more than happy for me to have them up on the products page. And I think that I messed up, mate. I think that they never made it up there. And I think that they are good. Yeah, it was about the resurrection and why I believe that the resurrection is forensically incontestable. And the other one was about why is it that the scriptures are the word of God and why is the New Testament in a different and minor league all by itself?
Yeah.
So we had fun with that. I'll tell you what, I promise I'll edit them out in the next week and they will be up on the
wonderful
website within the next week.
Finally.
Well, it took you telling me that I was anal to actually understand what was happening.
And then it took you asking somebody what that meant to understand what was happening.
I never even, you know, I only ever learnt that term in America. I didn't know what that meant. But and some people, you know, I say to Australians, "Do you know what anal means?" "Oh yes, but I don't like that term at all."
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm American then.
Exactly.
Now, last week, we started in on the gospel of grace and peace, I mean, as if you'd never taught on it, and for a good reason.
Yeah. Yes.
Bring us up to date.
Well, here we are with the Gospel of Peace. The thing that I have wanted to do in this series is to go back and cover some basics. There are some thoughts about the two most powerful pillars of the gospel, and that is the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. I don't even like to say the gospel of grace and peace. They are so powerful in and of themselves, I like to make sure I call it the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. They can stand alone powerfully.
You don't want to minimize either one of them as components of the same gospel, yes.
Exactly. The thing that I've realized over the years is it seems like when people find out that God at the cross, that all wrath and anger ceased, many people have found it now difficult to believe that God was ever angry. One of the statements that people have made, well, I just could never serve or believe in a God like that.
And in order to support that statement, they'll often say, see, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and he wouldn't have hurt a fly.
Yes. And Jesus was already the prototype of what it looks like for God and man to be one. You can't look at Christ and say that everything about God by himself outside of man, we were getting the full revelation of God in Christ. This is what God and man together looks like. Now, before, we had what it looks like for God and man to be separate. I think that the statement that Jesus made, when you've seen God, you've seen me, or if you've seen me, you've seen God, we're one, is a revelation of what the gospel was going to leave the condition of the entire human race.
Which is what Jesus said in John, was it 17, where he said, I pray that they will be one.
Yes.
Even as we are one.
Yes. And therefore bringing the very same peace between humanity and God. So, but to say that I can't, you know, if that's the way God is, I'm just not going to believe at all. I'm not going to serve. We're not calling anyone to serve. We don't believe that the scriptures calls anyone to serve God. In fact, Jesus addressed that also. And even himself, he said, I don't call you servants anymore, but friends. Now, we've progressed even beyond friends. God became friends with humanity when he inhabited just one man. But now he's inhabited all to where that we're not even friends with God, folks. We are one.
And that statement that came out of Jesus' mouth in or around John 70, that was said before the cross. In other words, that was said, now I call you friends, that was said as the highest form of relationship that God and man could have before the cross.
Yes. Before the cross and God living in Christ and being Christ, that now they could be on a friendship basis. But it took the inclusion of humanity and God to be friendly with man and God declare man to be a friend. So we see a really beautiful progression here. If we could just keep separate, Barris, the way things were before the birth of Christ, the way things were after the birth of Christ till the crucifixion, and the way things were after the resurrection. These are progressions for us.
It's an evolution, really, isn't it?
It really is an evolution. It's a beautiful one.
And who evolved through this?
Well, that is the real issue here now, isn't it? And it's one that people are terribly uncomfortable with. Believe me, I've received the brunt end of that discomfort, that God himself evolved. I mean, that's what people don't like either. They want a view of a God who, number one, never changes. See, we have that out of context verse supporting this illusion of a God who never, quote, changes. The term change in those verses doesn't mean to never change. It literally means I never do the same thing twice. In other words, I change all the time. I evolve. If you were going to use something, God would have been saying, I am the Lord thy God. I evolve. and evolve, he has proven he does. Now, if you can't serve a God who used to be one way, and you can't serve a God because of a change that he has made, I don't know. It's almost like politics. If somebody changes their mind, they're a flip-flopper, you know?
Yeah, here's something I learned years ago, Michael. When you're in grade one, the lowest number is one. When you're in grade two, the lowest number is zero. When you're in grade five or six, the lowest number is minus something or other. Yeah. And each of those truths are taught us truth on the way through, and yet later, a greater truth overcomes the lesser truth.
No, exactly. And that is the progression of learning. Just have no problem with God progressing in this entire relationship with creation, making a decision to create. Was God still God before he created the earth and the heavens? So can we just not serve a God or believe in a God that didn't do this before he did it? That sounds like just creating heaven and earth. Isn't that an evolution, Barris?
Well, if as Paul says, that all things hold together in him,
yep,
and that Jesus, by the power of his word, all things that consist do consist.
Yes.
Then yeah, makes sense.
So here we go. Now we also have record of God changing his mind. In fact, he uses the word repent in the occasions in the scriptures. That God, we talked about this one in detail, about God repenting that he had made man. God repented on other situations, in other situations also, which means he changed his mind.
Did he?
Yes. At least the term is used anyway. We, for some reason, need a God that is not multidimensional at all. We need a God that is painted on a surface with angels and clouds around him and never altering from that. And goodness gracious, folks, how could that possibly be, that the God who created us so multidimensional be so one-dimensional himself? So I don't claim to understand God, but I do accept that the scriptures say what they say about God and his experience with the human race. I have no other document to turn to.
And family, that was Michael's summing up of last week.
Yeah. And continuing on.
Can we move to, because I did my homework and I don't want to have it wasted on me.
We can move anywhere you want to. Want to move to Minnesota?
No, I can see the fan in the room is not turning. That tells me something. And you are covered in wool. I can see that means something I don't want to enjoy.
I am indeed. And you also hear the raspiness of breathing cold air at night. So.
It's just not. If God meant people to live in Minnesota, he would have made them in Minnesota.
These Texas lungs just were not made for this.
I was thinking along the lines of Exodus 19 and 20.
What were your thoughts about this?
My thoughts were, I don't have any thoughts.
You just made me stop talking because you had a whole bunch of things you wanted to say. And now you have nothing to say.
No, I may just stop talking because I want to get this series in under five episodes. I don't know if you've got that in you.
No, I do not.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Mike, we're going to start reading at the beginning of Exodus chapter 19, and you just interrupt me whenever the feeling takes you.
Well, let me interrupt you right now. This is going to be a long show, right?
Yes, this could last for a very long time.
One of the things that you're going to find out is that not only did God execute his wrath and judgment to Jew and Gentile, but that he also commanded Israel to do the same, to execute his wrath and his judgment on others. And when we were talking about this, you pointed out, Barris, that not only did he insist that Israel do this, he got quite angry again when they didn't kill all the cattle or execute it to the letter of the law. I have no other document to go to but the scriptures. The Gospel Revolution does not claim to have wisdom or inside knowledge or a personal revelation. There's not a single personal revelation in any of this. This is all simply conclusions brought out of the scriptures that the gospel has all of its foundation here. Essential to the gospel of peace is good news. There's a cessation of hostilities. There can't be a gospel of peace unless peace needed to be declared. I think it's very self-righteous to make a declaration, well, I'm sorry, I just don't accept that God was ever angry. Well, where do you come up with that from? Now, I respect that you have a personal opinion, but you have to accept that your personal opinion is being based outside the scripture. And as we follow this through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then, of course, on into Paul's teachings, the one thing we see in the Gospels is this grand announcement. What was the thing the angels got excited about? You know, if you listen to people in the Word of Faith movement, you would think that they came saying, you know, I got good news. Everybody can be wealthy.
And I got bad news.
Yes, and everybody can have airplanes, jets. How many do you want? Good news. Now, if you're in the Word of Faith movement, you probably just got extremely offended.
Which is okay by us.
But remember, just because you're offended...
don't mean you're right.
And just because we offend you doesn't mean we're right either.
But we're going to enjoy it as long as you do.
For sure. So we've got the angels making this grand announcement, which has been misread for centuries. Number one, we went back and read it as it is, and it doesn't say peace on earth, goodwill to men.
It does. I've bought Christmas cards. I know the whole Hallmark gospel, peace on earth and goodwill to men.
It is the Hallmark gospel, but here we have what the verse says, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. That is from one entity to another. Here is the first announcement in the time when Jesus is about to be born. And what is going to be the greatest implication of this birth? What is it going to result in?
Angels get their first opportunity since creation to make a public statement. What will it be?
A public statement that is the revelation for all ages.
Oh, I'm hanging on this now.
I mean, the revelation for all ages that was prepared before the foundation of the world. So here they finally get to make this declaration. And what is it?
They have been waiting for bloody centuries.
Since before time, you know, according to some verses, as it seemed to indicate.
Yeah.
And here is the grand announcement. What is it about? And on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. I can't undo what has been done, and I refuse to not accept what has been said. Because the fact is, Barris, if we've got one full pillar of the gospel called the gospel of peace, and the other one is the gospel of grace, and the gospel of peace means the absence of war, the absence of being against, the absence of conflict. How can you have the grand announcement of the greatest thing to happen between God and man and it really was just an illusion. I just don't get that. I do get why it is difficult for some people to believe that God was angry, because they try to relate it to their parents. They try to relate it to being good parents. They try to relate it to them being good parents. But if we do not allow the cross to resolve this issue of conflict between God and man, I think we lose our perception as to how conflict can be resolved between you and I, that we have the DNA in us for conflict resolution.
If there was an announcement of peace, there had to be something against which that was a comparison. You can't be at peace with people and then declare peace.
Yes.
So the first thought that comes to me is, the only way that a declaration of peace can be made is in wartime. That's the only time it can be made.
That is what this entire statement is made out of. This is a wartime, end of war statement.
And the second thing is something you said years ago, and it just keeps coming back. Sorry, family, if I keep repeating things, but I'm just not that bright. I just sound brighter than I really am. And that is, Christianity is nothing more, it seems to me, than Judaism plus Jesus. And if we have to confess our sins like every minute, and the old Israelis only had to confess their sins every year, how come Jesus' death left us worse off?
Yeah.
How are we any better off than they used to be? So those are the two things that that occur to me as you're saying that, mate.
Exactly. So the reason we're going through this is not because I'm right, you're wrong, for those who do not embrace that God was ever angry. The issue is the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. The story is the power. The story is the power. The story is the power. What's it the power of? It is the power to bring a different way of thinking to the mind. It is salvation. We use these lofty terms like salvation, the saving of the soul. The gospel is the power of God to the saving of the soul. But let's get right down to it. This story, this good news as opposed to bad news, and if you now have good news, what do you have? Why would they call it good news if there wasn't bad news before it? Why wouldn't it be just news?
Yeah.
You can't call it good news unless there was bad news before.
Good news is this picture for me. I think it was at the end of the World War II.
Yeah.
And there's a ticker tape parade. I mean, there is all this confetti dropping out of the sky. It might have been New York, Chicago. I don't know where it was. But if you've seen this photo, you'll know the photo once I describe it. And there is this guy, a sailor, I think he is, and he's bending a chick over and giving her the wildest pash. And that kiss has been forever solidified in human memory because some photographer was in the right place at the right time. There is a march, a victory march, going down the main street of this city, and good news.
It is declaring, demonstrating, celebrating good news. So I don't want anyone to be robbed of the power of the story. The story. Oh my goodness, folks! The story. And I just simply do not have the liberty to change the story. I don't think anyone has the liberty to change the story. The good news story is the power of God to the saving of the soul.
So if I'm understanding you right, what took place, the story, what took place from the past to the present was so contrasting and so effective that it was called good news, the gospel, or that's the story.
Yes.
And when we get this story straight in our brains, in our noggins, we get to experience the before and after. It's like the old before and after photos in magazines.
Oh, it is indeed. And we get the full impact of the story, the full reality of the story. The stories change the way you think, Barris. Once you hear a story, you have aha moments out of stories. It's like, ah, wow, I never thought about it that way. Well, that's what stories are designed to do. This just happens to be, as has been coined long before I ever said it, the greatest story ever told. And in this story, there is a culmination from past, and when you say present, you mean at the cross. Because here's the thing, Barris, is people have come up with a lot of stories since the cross, about the cross. We don't,
which is nearly as I can tell, make the cross almost insignificant.
Almost and possibly not only insignificant, but the absolute reverse of what it was, to incite violence. To use the cross, which was a declaration of peace between God and man, to incite violence between men. And it was not a declaration of peace between people. Now, I do believe, and I've stated this openly, that I do believe that the salvation of the soul, the truth of the gospel, will lead us to a place where they shall study war no more. And I think that this is a point. Now, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm just telling you what I really think is the power of this story. Let's not be robbed of the story, folks. I wouldn't care if it said that God started out as a purple Martian, and he evolved from a purple Martian to a green turnip
with dreadlocks.
With dreadlocks. And then evolved to a crew cut to Mr. Potato Head. I don't care what it says. I know the story is going to contain power for my brain. Power for my brain. Power for my emotions.
How about food for my brain? Food which or energy or nutrition.
It is that and a bag of chips.
I have gotten to saying lately, when I have a conversation with someone that really does empower me, you know how you can meet people and some of them drain you at the end of it, and some of them leave you feeling vitalized and empowered at the end of it? When I feel that I've had a conversation with someone, I've started saying this now, thank you for this phone conversation. It has been really nutritious for me.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's what the gospel is, very nutritious for us.
It is, and that's why we encourage people to rehearse it, not in a religious manner, but a conversational manner. Goodness gracious. Now, of those conversations where that you have been nourished, Barris, just think how many of them revolved around the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And, man, I can start out just really quite weary and take a phone call and get started. And instead of the phone call doing what it should do, if I'm weary, I should be more weary once the phone conversation is over, just by reason of progression of tiredness. But as you said, it can totally revitalize, enliven my thinking. There's nothing more powerful than having your thinking enlivened. And that's what this story does. So we're going through all of this thread by thread because we want nothing lost of this story. I'm reminded of the HBO series John Adams.
Oh, that was tops.
Oh, it was.
But between that and The West Wing, I almost understand American politics.
Yeah. And the picture of him standing in front of the painting that now hangs somewhere in Congress. I'm not sure exactly which room it is, but it is that ever famous photo of all of the representatives being there to sign the Constitution. And as Adam said when they brought him in to approve of it, he said, all legs.
What did he say?
All legs.
Oh.
Because all these men, all you could see, they all had, you know, it seemed like a photo of legs rather than people. Okay. He did not like this painting that now hangs in the on display in a very prominent place in D.C. And they were talking to him about the history of the revolution. And he said, I count the history of our revolution as lost. Meaning that he knew that it was important that people know the history, and that we may become very misguided by the fact that we didn't know the story of this process of how this revolution took place. So if something happened that brought a drastic difference, it's important to know the story correctly as to how it happened, because out of that we gain tools to get us through this life. If we mess the story up, we miss the tools.
Do you want to get to Exodus 19 at all today?
It really makes no difference to me.
Okay, keep going. We can turn this into a 10-part series. Doesn't bother me.
Oh, shoot, why not?
It saves us thinking of something new.
It's just that important, Barris.
We're almost at the end of another PowerCast, and you still have not gotten to Exodus 9.
You've done it again, Barris. You've run me right out of time. Oh, my goodness.
What can I say?
Well, I tell you what. Let's do for the people or to the people, whichever way they want to take it. Let me take you to the end of this story that we're going to eventually get to in Exodus, at least part of the end of the story. We'll actually conclude the story in Hebrews, which quotes these same verses.
Mm.
But I want to show you this in Exodus 20, verse 18. This is when Moses had just come back with the law, and the people are standing there. And it says in verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. Oh, we're going to get in some good things about the trumpet. And the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off.
Well, they were smart.
I would think so. A smoking mountain and lightning and thunder and all of this going on at the same time, I think it'd be time to back up.
Sounds like a Led Zeppelin concert, actually.
And they said unto Moses, now listen at this. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we'll hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.
Whoa.
Now, it's like Moses. Okay,
Moses. Hey, Moses, you can die, but don't let us die.
Yes, Moses, please, no. They and you'll see in Hebrews that Paul quotes this, that they begged God not to speak anymore.
Mm.
Now, that was a real contrast for me in the Word of Faith movement, where we were always begging God to talk to us. Israel begged God not to talk. Please, God, stop talking to us. Please, God. Stop talking to us. Tell Moses, he'll tell us, because this direct connection with you is deadly.
It's too scary.
It is indeed. And they believed that they would die, and in many cases they had already seen that. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, or to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thickness where God was. Wow. Now that is a powerful story. We can't remove that, and we don't intend to. We're not going to. And this whole situation, Paul uses to contrast the old covenant with the new, the law to grace. He teaches it in detail in Hebrews. He says, you've not come to this mountain. And we'll see once we get there, which may be a few weeks from now, what Paul had to say about it.
Why are we going? This could be a 100-part series.
And it's quite all right. All roads lead to the gospel of peace. If man is righteous, you have to find out why. All roads lead to the gospel of peace. If there is no such thing as sin, you have to know why. All roads lead to the gospel of peace. If God and man are one, you have to know why. All roads lead to the gospel of peace. So here we have this demonstration of people's dread and their awareness that in the condition that they were in. Now, here is the motivation to not, quote, not sin. You're going to get so frightened, you're not going to sin anymore. You're going to get so frightened, Moses said, you're going to get so frightened, you'll never break any more laws. You'll never the law had just been given. You're going to be so frightened, you will not disobey. Now, can somebody say it didn't work?
I'll just settle for an amen.
Can anybody say it still don't work?
I'll still settle for an amen.
Oh, my goodness. So something drastic happened to interrupt this way of thinking, that you could get so scared that you would obey. Bears, we've got to resolve this, because this is basically parenting 101 in most religions, is to make your children so afraid they will obey. Now, I think there's a better way. I think there is a gospel way of dealing with everything. Did I say everything? Everything. I think there is a gospel way of dealing with everything, including raising our children.
Okay.
So next week, we're going to start at the beginning of this and read through it. We're just going to accept what it says. I don't know that I am putting a burdensome requirement on anyone. This is the power of the story. That's why we're going back. We want to keep the story. If we gut the scriptures of every time it talks about God's anger, God commanding Israel to carry out his wrath and his judgment on other people, if we take out every time that God was jealous, if we take out every time that it talks about the vengeance of God, if we take out the times of the judgment of God, a declaration of wrath, there's two forms of judgment. You can be judged innocent or guilty. But this judgment of guilty is not a good thing. If we gut the scriptures in which we claim we rely on to find the truth of the gospel, I would say we would be getting real close to half of the scriptures that we would be gutting and taking out of the Old Testament if we removed those subjects, the stories of the subjects, and the declaration of these things. So we're going to accept them as they are and see where it leads us. And that's where we'll start next week on part 3 of the Gospel of Peace.
Amen. 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 Oh, yeah.
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Remember that the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. Don't forget to go visit www.theteacherwithin.com and order your copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Menominee. It's in the top 1% of all book sales on Amazon and is without question the best book touching authentic, natural spirituality I have ever read. We run a value-for-value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free product.
The value for value model is the only way we feel that we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So if you feel that you have received real value from this podcast, then I'm asking you to seriously consider donating towards it. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey Robertson about how you can participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember that you can help support us in ways other than money as well. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all the difference for somebody else just like you, starting their journey towards thinking for themselves. Perhaps you'd like to invite Mike to your area. It's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and we will make that happen for you. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971. Leave us a voicemail. You can find us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. All the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at gospelrevolution.com. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it is good night from Mike Williams here in beautiful Houston, where spring has sprung the third time, I think, now. Thank you guys for listening in. We love you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you are right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
I bet it'll be better.
Gospel Revolution.
Use only as directed. Absolutely no warranty expressed or implied. Contents under pressure. Use in a well-ventilated area. Do not use while operating a motor vehicle or heavy equipment. No user serviceable parts inside. One size fits all. Parental guidance suggested. Severe pain has sometimes been reported and in rare cases, death. Limited time offer. Call now to ensure your prayer blessing. This supersedes all previous notices. This information is subject to change without notice. At all participating churches near you.